maybe I'm not conscious about it, but I'm definitely being influenced by the videos that I watch. So by taking myself away from that situation, maybe it hurts for a little bit for me because I feel like I'm missing out on information that I could use on my future videos. But then again, if you really think about it, that could be exactly your strength because you're not the same. And like, you know, like what I said earlier, I tend to watch people that I'm not even subscribed to just because I want something different, you know, variety, right?
Hey guys, welcome back to the Hive Podcast. As always, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. I am so excited you're here for episode 99. That means the next episode is 100, you know, because we can all count to hopefully to 100. But if you're listening to this episode the day it comes out on Monday, what is Monday's date? Let me pull that up for a second. On Monday, November 14th, if you're listening to this on that date, you should tune into the YouTube channel on Wednesday, November 16th, because we're going to be live streaming the 100th episode with a very special guest host that will be, you know, we'll just be talking about all the lessons I've kind of learned over the last like 2.5-3 years of doing this podcast and doing 100 episodes. So that's going to be really fun. We're going to do it live. It's going to be the first live recording with like where you guys can watch of the podcast. So tune in. That'll be really fun. Also, before we get into this week's episode and the guest that's coming on, if you enjoyed listening to last week's, well, it wasn't last week because it was 2 weeks ago, but if you enjoyed listening to the last episode with David Tyler, the co-founder of Modwood, super awesome product. He was nice enough to extend a coupon code to anybody that wants to take a look at their products and maybe buy a desk shelf, or if you're using it for any other space in your home, like there's so many uses, go check out the website. It'll be linked down in the show notes of the podcast, the description of the video, and there's a coupon code. So Hive Media is the coupon code, and it gets you 20% off any order between now and the end of November. So go check it out if you want to save 20%. That's a big chunk of change. So go check it out, link down in the description. Promo code Hive Media. So let's welcome this week's guest. He's been on a few times, and this is going to be a fun episode because we always have a good time. But let's welcome Michael Soledad. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Jared. Thank you again for inviting me to the podcast. I'm glad I'm not banned from your podcast.
You're never banned. I mean, literally.
It's always a fun time, though.
You could come on every week. Actually, like, maybe not everybody knows this, but me and Michael tried doing like a weekly show together for a very brief period of time.
This was last year, I think. Yeah.
Was it last year? It feels like much, much longer than ago. But we were trying to do like a weekly tech show.
Yeah.
We didn't repurpose any of the audio for a podcast. I think it was only YouTube, right? And
yes.
It was just tough.
And our schedules were so messy. It was tough. It was one of the toughest things. And I think this is a good time for us to kind of like reflect on the last few years. Because first of all, Jared, congratulations. You're on almost 100 episodes. That's crazy. That's insane.
It's insane.
You've been doing this for two years? Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
A little over. Yeah, like over 2 years. I thought I would get here a lot quicker, to be honest. I really did. But it takes a toll. Like it's hard to do it every week, especially when you have a guest format show. Like it's very difficult.
Yes.
When you rely on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Completely understand. And I think that was one of the reasons why we couldn't really sustain our little experiment, just because you're talking about two people with two different schedules, two different workloads.
And we live in the same city.
You're always trying to, we live in the same city.
So imagine like if your guest is in another state or country. Or your host.
Exactly.
Jeez.
Like, yeah.
Absolutely insane.
It's crazy. That's why for Coffee with Creators, it was this with Chelsea. It was always like figuring out what the schedule's going to be the next week. You know, the following week, there's no consistency. So you're right. I think the perfect word is, it's taxing. It's very exhausting. So I think that for that alone, that reason alone, kudos to you. Congratulations for getting to 100. I know you probably think that you should have gotten here sooner, but I mean, that alone in itself is it's a humongous feat, I think. So that's awesome.
Thanks.
Congratulations,
man.
Dude.
I appreciate it.
And thank you for making the 90, you know, making me the 99th guest.
Yeah, man, of course.
The bar is going to be low.
I needed a guest to come on and just like calm the nerves for the 100th episode. So who better than Michael? Because we love just to chat about anything.
Oh, there they go. I will be the perfect person because we can just chat about anything. You know, so actually, you did bring up a really good topic today.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about.
So we're going to talk about, like, are we as a creative community, especially on YouTube, are we essentially shooting ourselves in the foot? Like, are what we're doing, is it going to hurt us in the long run with content creation and monetization and being able to do this long term? Are we going to be able to have sustainable audiences doing what we're doing? And in particular, I guess it comes to like brand deals and embargoes and marketing new products. So quick little story. If you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, maybe it's like 4 episodes ago, I did a little update and I think I briefly talked about this. So back at the beginning of September, went on a little family vacation to Hawaii. It was great. Tried to stay off my phone as much as possible, not really check social media, not watch YouTube, kind of just enjoy the trip, be with the family. It was a great time. But when we were leaving and we get to the airport, like, okay, time to get out the phone, get out the iPad, whatever. Let me get on YouTube and see what's going on. Find some videos while I'm waiting for the plane. And it was just new product after new product after new product. And that's fine and all. But maybe it's just who I subscribe to and the niche that I enjoy. But it was a little overkill. And when I say new product after new product, it was like one new product, 20 videos with almost the same thumbnail, and they were all the same. And then the next new product, and it was like 20 videos of the same exact thing. The next new product was 20 videos of the same exact thing. And they all came out on the embargo dates, right? And you're trying to play that game, like, do you want to be the first, or do you want to be in the middle, or do you want to be the last? Because then you'll be higher ranked on when they go check their feed, you know?
That time frame.
On the time frame.
Exactly.
and it's not really that, but it's like, okay, you want these brand deals, you want to work with the brands, you want to check out the new products because that's going to get you the views, right? And if you're trying to run your YouTube channel as not only a creative outlet, but a business, you need the views and you need those relationships. But are we allowing the brands to have too much control over the talking points? Because no joke, like, I love everybody I subscribe to. I've had so many of them on the podcast, but every video is the same. Like, are we letting the brands have too much control? Are we not being creative enough on how we're incorporating these embargo videos and these release videos? Because I love watching them, but to be honest, like, I can watch one or two, you know? And after that, it's like, it's the same video. No joke. So I thought it was an interesting topic. Yeah. Like, are we hurting ourselves, hurting our audience? Like, are they getting burned out? I didn't watch most of them, you know, because why do I want to watch, you know, the same video 20 times? Like, you know, depending on the release, the release is dependent on who I'm going to watch, right? Who's more of an authority on that? If it was an action camera, you know, I'm going to watch probably David Manning because he does tons of action camera videos, and probably Matty Hapoya because he does great ones. If it's a new camera, you know, usually Gerald Undone, and that's about it because he goes super in depth.
That's all you need.
And then when it came to the Apple products, like, I don't know, take your pick because every video was the same. You know, you did not to throw you under the bus. You did a good job because you took more time and didn't upload immediately, you know? And I find more value in the videos that don't upload the day the product is released because you've had no time with it. Mm. It just came in the mail. You just unboxed it. Give it at least a week and you do that, which is fantastic. That's enough of me.
Are you talking about the Apple Watch Ultra?
Yeah, that one. And then there were some iPad ones, iPhone ones, you know?
So you bring up a couple of really good points. Like, first of all, I think you're correct, 100% correct, that it is exhausting not only for us as the creators, but also for our audiences, because we are also audiences, you know, for our favorite creators, right? Like, you and I have our own favorites. And, you know, honestly, even I was just like, I don't need to watch this. And, you know, sometimes, this is really interesting. Sometimes when I'm looking for a particular product, I actually don't choose my favorite creator because it's almost like when I'm browsing through Netflix and I see the same titles and I just want something different. So that's kind of how I've been treating YouTube lately. Like, I have my favorite creators. I'm subscribed to all of them, but I tend to watch the ones that I haven't seen before. And so maybe it's just because, like you said, everything that I see is always the same, and I just want something that's different. And so now we get to a point where, so what does it mean then to subscribe to someone, right? Like, I know maybe I'm probably not the only person who's experiencing this. And this is most apparent in a particular genre, not necessarily tech, but I subscribe to a lot of like car channels because I love talking about cars and all that stuff. But the problem is these embargoes for these cars, I've said it like for the longest time, once a new car comes out, like my feed on Instagram and on YouTube are exactly the same because these companies, they provide them the date when these creators can post the videos. And they also provide the actual, what do you call this? The photos for Instagram. So for a good day or two, my Instagram feed is going to look like a catalog of the same car. It's really insane. And so we're kind of, as creators, we're kind of trapped, right? Like we're like, okay, what do we do? Because the reality is, I mean, we would love to do this if we were being compensated like fairly, right? But the reality is that's not true. I mean, you have to go through a lot of hard days and months and weeks and years to actually get some sort of like return of your investment, whether it's like the actual equipment, your time, or anything else. And so we are kind of forced to just bend ourselves backwards for these brands, whatever they want, just because we want the exposure, we want to be discovered. But then again, we get to a point where we look exactly like everyone else. And so I think to me, this is where it's important for us to kind of differentiate ourselves. And I know it's really simple to say, but in practice, it's very, very hard.
So hard.
Especially when you're running your own channel. Yeah, you're running your own channel. You're trying to differentiate yourself, but there's also best practices.
Right.
You know, the audience clearly wants a detailed report of whatever this product is. And I think when you get to a point where you just accept, like, this is you as a consumer. Like, for me, you mentioned earlier my Apple Watch review or whatever device. The reason why I actually posted late was because I was also on vacation. And so, like you, I think it benefited you. It did, yeah. So because I avoided all of the reviews, I avoided all of the unboxing. So nothing was spoiled. So I looked at the product as if it's like from me. I'm the consumer, right? So I used it as a consumer and I reviewed it as a consumer. And so when I brought forth my review, it was all genuine. So I did not watch a single review about the Apple Watch Ultra or the AirPods. I literally just did it myself. And maybe because of the timing, like you said, because everyone kind of got tired of it. And so like a few weeks later, oh, there's another one. There's a new one that pops up, right? So people tend to watch that. So I think that's a good, I guess, another technique to do it.
Strategy.
But there is, like you said, like, yeah, sadly, there is this thing where you need to be the first. You need, because you want to try to get the attention. There's this guy, I forgot his name, but he posted the review for the Apple Watch Ultra, I think the first few days. And then his review was like, leaving my iPhone, I think, for the Apple Watch Ultra for a day. And his video got millions of views already.
I think I remember and seeing that.
Dude, he had a couple thousand followers or subscribers at that point. Not a lot, not even 10,000, I don't think. And now I don't know how big his channel is. So there are benefits to being the first. But you're right. Like, are we kind of shooting ourselves in the foot? And to me, I think this is where we exercise our powers. Or our only real power, I think, as creators is to say no to brands and to kind of stick to our guns. But it's hard. It's hard, right? Like, I don't know how you do it, but for me, I really get scared when I say no to brands because I have to trust in the process and play the long game.
Yeah.
And trust that my audience who know me, who follow me, will follow me because they like me and not because I'm the first or I'm this and that. Because I think we all aspire to be the biggest creator, right? Like take your pick, right? Like Marquez, for example, we all want to be like Marquez where we're the first, but you know, the reality is we're not there, at least not yet. Yeah. So I think it's important for us to, at least for me, what I do is I really just try to remember why my audience like me, and not necessarily because I'm the first, but maybe because I view things differently.
Yeah.
You know, so at least that's how I see it. But yeah, right. Yeah. It's a really big problem.
It is a problem, but we're at such an interesting point, like in YouTube and like the creative endeavor as a business. I don't think you have to say no to a brand, but I think my biggest thing is everyone's just doing the same thing. And some of the creativity has gone away for best practices, I guess. Like best practices, you need them, but maybe a best practice should be like, how can we do this differently? I don't know. Like, could that be a best practice? Like, can we game plan? Can we like just get creative and figure out how to do something a little differently than a typical, this is what's in the box. Here's the specs. Here's the battery life. Here's the screen size. Like, you need to incorporate that information, but can we do it more creatively than just a talking head video? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like I don't have a solution. That's why it's kind of a fun conversation. It's more of like, can we all collectively think about this? But I think we're also in a weird place.
I think that's a great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, no, I think that's completely valid what you just said. And we're not trying to offer a solution necessarily, but I think having the perspective of, you know, being okay with not being the first or doing something different, because that's the scariest part when you deviate from what's normal, right? That's when when you are going against the grain. And frankly speaking, in my entire life, I'm kind of like that, like in a subtle way. Whatever people are doing, I don't want to do that. I just want to be different. That's just how I feel. And not because I'm a rebel or anything like that. Michael's far from a rebel, but that's just me creatively. I don't want to be the same as other people. And I think if we look at it, this whole situation as like everyone's being the same and all the products are the same, all the reviews are the same, this could be your biggest advantage, right? This could be our biggest advantage by being different. And maybe instead of speaking, we hold our tongue for a little bit, maybe take up, you know, an extra day or two, or maybe like what Jared and I actually did, right? Like completely get yourself off of social media for a few days and do the review as you are. I mean, as you know, yourself, like as a real person, because then we're not really influenced, because when we watch some of these videos, in the back of my mind, when I'm watching them, I'm always thinking like, that's a good idea. I can do the same thing,
right?
Or I should do the same thing, right? So maybe I'm not conscious about it, but I'm definitely being influenced by the videos that I watch. So by taking myself away from that situation, maybe it hurts for a little bit for me, because I feel like I'm missing out on information that I could use on my future videos. But then again, if you really think about it, that could be exactly your strength, because you're not the same. Yeah. And like, you know, like what I said earlier, I tend to watch people that I'm not even subscribed to, just because I want something different, you know, variety, right?
And I don't want anybody to take this as like a negative or as an insult. I actually think everything seems so much the same because everyone's gotten that good, right? Like everyone's gotten to this level where they're at the top of their game. There's always room for improvement, but everyone is doing such a good job. And there are these best practices to be successful on YouTube right now that everyone has implemented so well that everyone seems the same, because everyone's kind of following the same advice. Like all the thumbnails look very much the same because there's strategy to thumbnail, and they all look the same now because everyone's executing that at like top level. Everyone's doing such a good job. Mm-hmm. So don't take this as like a negatively, like, oh, you guys are all boring, you're all doing the same thing. No, like, you guys have executed so well to all the top YouTube advice that you've gotten to this game where it's like, okay, now we maybe need to do something different, because we're all doing the same thing and we're doing it super well. No one's completely standing out anymore. I mean, everyone is kind of at that Marquez level-ish. Marquez has some tools to make it different. Like, he's got a robot arm to do some really cool shots, and he's got a cool team. So his videos are always going to be a little above there. But everyone's right there, right? So For anyone listening, you're doing a great job.
It's crazy. Yes, exactly. There's so many channels out there that I've seen that are like, I wonder why they don't have millions of followers or subscribers. Because I'm like, these guys are so good. And you're right. Like, it's actually really daunting. Right?
Yeah,
it's scary to turn on YouTube now. I'm like, why am I even doing this? These guys are so good. And then I remember that the reason I'm doing this is because they're not Michael. I'm doing this because I'm Michael. I'm the only one who can say things the Michael way. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's the best way, but it just means it's the, you know, it's the best means of, there are people who tend to listen to my type of content versus others. This reminds me of a story that I heard from, who was this? I think it was a podcast that I was listening to. And this lady was basically talking about how her husband was she was complaining to her husband something about her health, her physique. And her husband was a trainer and he was trying to give her advice and saying, you should do this and you should do that. And for years, she completely ignored him. And then one day, she was at a grocery store or something. And then she randomly came across an old friend of hers, a friend that she hasn't seen in years. And so they got to talking. And then she mentions to her friend her little problem. And her friend says, oh, you should do this and you should do that. And so she did exactly what her friend did, or what her friend said. So one day, she told her husband, hey, guess what? I finally solved a problem. I saw this person and they told me to do this. And then her husband goes, that's exactly what I've been trying to tell you. And so the lesson for her, that woman who was telling the story, was that some people just seem to listen to others more than, you know, it's the same message, but it just comes from a different source. And so maybe because we're just people, we're just different like that. We tend to be attracted to certain things or certain voices, whatever it is. I try not to think about like the science behind it, but that the reality is, I mean, that's true. Like my kids, for example, they tend to listen to me more versus their mom when it comes to a certain topic, even though we're saying exactly the same thing. So I think it's, as long as I remind myself of that, it gives me a little bit of courage, I guess, to be myself and not try to be like Marquez, because we all want to be like Marquez.
But you got to do it in your own unique way. You got to do it in your own unique way, right? Like, you brought out a good point. Like, you can always tell this is Michael when you're watching one of your review videos. And there's a handful of creators I absolutely love, but they do the same thing. Like, you could put each other's videos on each other's channels. And if you didn't know any better, you would think that's their channel, right? If that was your first time there, because the videos are exactly the same. And they do such a good job, but I know it's hard to pump out content, but don't do it in a way that sacrifices your uniqueness and your voice, right? Don't cave into the pressure of having to pump out a new video and sacrificing your creativity and your voice just for the sake of views. The views are still going to come either way, I guess, but I think you're going to be able to do it more long-term if you're happy with the content you're producing. And there are still a handful of creators that do a great job and put their own unique voice on it and still implement the best practices, but don't sacrifice who they are and their creativity for it, you know? And it's a tough challenge, right? Yeah. Like it's a tough thing to do.
It's very tough. Very, very tough. And I think you're right, because I think as long as you can sustain it, because you can only try to be someone else for so long, right? You cannot sustain that. It's going to drain you. You're going to wake up and you're like, I don't want to do this anymore, even if they're paying me to do it. We're people. That's a reality. Here's actually a good example of one of the channels that I absolutely love. And the channel is called The Smoking Tire. And they it's hosted by Matt Farah, big car guy, millions of followers. And throughout his YouTube channel, like, you'll see he's doing the same thing with other car YouTubers where he basically adds his face onto like the picture of the car. Like, there's a car in the background and he's making like these wild faces. And it looks so silly, especially if you know him, because he's a serious guy. Like, not so serious, but he's a very respectable guy. But he's like doing all these goofy faces. And people are asking, why are you doing this? And he's like, dude, you know, it sucks, but that's what the algorithm likes. People tend to click on car channels that have faces on them. And I'm like, man, that sucks. And he has been, I guess, open about it. He's like, you know, it's not really, you know, it's not really their thing, but that's what works. And I think that's what a lot of creators are also facing, not because they want to do it, but because it kind of works. I've tried that too. I've tried adding faces to my thumbnails. Fortunately, they didn't work. So I didn't have to keep doing that. But yeah, I mean, that kind of sucks because yeah, I just get so burnt out doing that. It's off brand at that point, right? Like, I don't want my brand to be like this.
Yeah.
Right. So I always try to remind myself of the brands that I admire and like, and I'm like, would this brand do this? And when I say no, then I'm like, okay, no, then I won't do it. So I try to remind myself to play the long game, long game. And I think, I don't know what do you think, Jared? I think it also has to do with how society is now, with the not necessarily instant gratification, but the
short form content.
Short form content, and also the fact that we feel like we can grow fast, right? Like when you go viral, that's the term, right? Like we want to go viral. I mean,
I just think of the Ricky Bobby.
It's not easy to go viral, right?
I think of the Ricky Bobby quote. I want to go fast. Yeah,
Ricky Bobby. I got to watch that movie again.
I want to go fast. Oh,
that's okay. But yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's, you know, when it comes to implementing strategies on YouTube, there are so many and everyone's doing a good job, but just remember, like if you're in the thick of it or you're just starting out and you're inspired by somebody, it's okay to take inspiration, but don't copy, mm-hmm. because copying someone's style that's not yours is the quickest way to lead to burnout because it's just not you. And you're not going to be able to do it as well as that person because that's them and you're trying to be them. So take inspiration, yeah. But don't sacrifice being who you are and having your voice. Mm-hmm. And the content that you're creating, people are going to subscribe if you post consistently. That's the mm-hmm. most important thing, being consistent. And the only way you can be consistent is by being you. So that's my two cents.
Yeah. To tag on what you just said, Jared, here's also another thing that I'd like for us to maybe even discuss or your listeners to discuss. You know how some people get upset when people copy their style, copy them.
Right.
Right. And I was talking to someone a few months ago and they were very upset of the fact that someone is copying their style. And this person spent so much time obsessing over the fact that, you know, they're basically calling these people out, calling this person out, calling that person out. And I told them, hey, you know what? You shouldn't really be worried about that because they will always be second to you because they can't be you exactly. So what they're doing is you're their the bar. You set the bar for them, and they're always trying to get to your level. So the worst thing that you could do is to stop and start yelling at them, because you're not progressing. So I think if you are that person where people copy you, I mean, I'm just kind of flipping the conversation, right? So if people are copying you, maybe don't worry about it too much because, like what Jared said, no one can be you. And that's essentially your superpower.
Yeah.
That because you are uniquely you. And no matter what they say, what they do, they're never going to be you. I am never going to be Marquez. No matter what I try to do, I'm never going to be Marquez. I'm always going to be a step behind.
I'm never going to be Michael.
I'm always just, yeah. Good thing, Jared, because you don't want to be me. But yeah, I think that was just like a really interesting perspective too, because to be honest with you, I didn't really know what to say to this person at that time. And I'm like, why are you so obsessed? And then, you know, after a while I thought about it. I'm like, you know, if he continues to just be himself, people are just going to continue to follow him. So they're essentially just following his footsteps. Yeah. They will never surpass him.
Yeah,
because he's always the bar. And I'm like, oh. That's a good perspective.
And I've said this
actually.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, how did you treat your podcast when you started? I'm sure you also had like a lot of people that you admired that started their podcast. But you know, you're almost at 100 episodes, Jared. How did you make this? how were you able to sustain this?
Yeah. And you know, like,
what's your method?
Yeah. So it's difficult. Okay. So there's a few things I want to unpack there. Going back to the YouTube thing real quick. It's okay to take inspiration. And I've said this before many times in this podcast a long time ago. I mean, even Peter McKinnon, I don't know, maybe he said it first, but I feel like I said it first. But like, you got to consume.
I believe you, Jared.
If you're going to create content, you got to consume less content. It's okay to consume content, yes, and to take inspiration. But if you're consuming more than you're creating, you're going to burn out and you're never going to be good. You're never going to feel good enough. And that's going to lead to burnout because you're going to be so inspired and feel like you can never do it as well. Or you're going to try to implement those things and again, feel like you're not doing it as well. So you got to consume less and create more. So that's huge advice. And that's kind of, yes, what I've done with this podcast. I listened to a lot of podcasts. And yes, I took inspiration from other podcasts when I first started because I'm like, hey, I really like doing that. That's really cool. Let me see if I can do it. You know, something similar, not the same, but something, mm-hmm, similar, like the vibe, mm-hmm, I like. And that's okay when you're starting out, right? It's, as long as you start to develop your own style over time. Absolutely. Like, it's kind of a catch 22. Like, it's not, don't copy, but it's okay to take some inspiration and start implementing that inspiration into your own creativity as long as it evolves into you and your voice, you know? Because, mm-hmm, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to get started just being you because when you're creating stuff and you're putting it out there for the world to consume, it's nerve-wracking. It's uncomfortable. So there are best practices.
Scary, yeah.
But I think that's the biggest thing is like I still consume a lot of podcasts, but I don't consume a lot of podcasts that are like mine, if that makes sense.
Got it.
And so
that makes complete sense.
I've been able to take some inspiration just from like quality standpoint and just keep myself motivated in the podcast space because I enjoy listening to podcasts, but I enjoy listening to a lot, mm-hmm, of podcasts that are different than mine now. I don't listen to a lot of creator-based interview podcasts or even creator-based podcasts that many anymore. You know, I still, yes, listen to Marquez, yeah, like the Waveform because, mm-hmm, it's all tech, you know, and mm-hmm, I'll still listen to Tom's The Enthusiasm Project because again, he's not really interviewing other creators. It's more about the creative process and, you know, microphone reviews. He does, Tom, if you're listening, you do a, yeah, lot of microphone reviews and don't feel bad about that. Cause I listened to your last episode. You're like, I don't know. Some people may think like, is this a microphone podcast? And it's not, but it's okay. If you're listening, keep doing the microphone reviews. Dude, I like it.
Tom's insane. His, I binged on his channel, I think last year.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this guy's crazy. How I never would have imagined someone making a channel talking about mostly just microphones and just being so good at it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I'm like, this is crazy. Yeah, Tom's good. Yep. Tom's awesome.
So but I guess
keep doing you, Tom. That's good.
Answering your question, I've been able to do it this long because I've kind of just focused on doing the podcast the way I like doing the podcast and not really what other people are doing. Did I take inspiration, yeah, how people did this style of podcast when I first started? Yes, 100%. I'm not going to say like, no, this was an original idea and Michael copied me when he started Coffee with Creators. No. You know,
yes, but I always take Jared's guests.
But what I find out is when I did listen to more of those, if anything, you got in your own head more. Like, mm-hmm, yes, they motivated you to start. They gave you some ideas that you could implement, but you have to evolve into your own voice. And that's the only thing that's going to keep you going. Because when you listen and you consume too much of the same style that you're doing, it's gonna mess with your head. You're going to have self-doubt and you're going to end up comparing yourself and it's going to hurt you. So, yeah, that's my advice.
I think that's the best answer and advice to kind of close the topic of being different. And, you know, why it's important to be different, why it's important to find your own voice and, you know, what could happen if you try very hard or too hard to emulate other people.
Yeah. You got to set your own bar.
Other people. You do have to set your own bar because, I mean, your podcast is the perfect case study, I think. I think anything that you can sustain for the long run, it's going to be successful no matter what. Because as you grow, if you're completely interested in this particular topic and you keep doing it, now you have the interest and you also have the experience. So you're building on those skills and you can't, no one can overtake you. No one can take that away from you. So that in itself, I think it's already like, I would call that a success. So I think that's the best advice, honestly, in across the board, not just podcasting, but also on YouTube. Do something that's sustainable for you. And usually it's when you do something that you truly enjoy and that if that thing speaks to you directly and not because you're trying to be someone else.
Yep.
So you answered the question, Jared. Yeah, good there job. We go. I mean, yeah.
for everyone listening, like this wasn't like, we're not here to give you answers and tell you how to do things because I think doing that is going to hurt you. Right. But the whole idea mm-hmm. of this conversation was to kind of like, let's just food for thought, you know, just, I hope it gets the wheels yes. turning and for, it gives you something to think about and really take a moment this week. After, you know, before and after the live stream of the 100th episode, got to plug that, and really contemplate having a strategy for your content going into 2023. We're at this point now, middle of November. This is the perfect time to take a step back and really look at your content and start game planning for next year. Don't feel mm-hmm. like you have to rush and implement all this stuff immediately. I'm at that, I go through a creative up and downs all the time. And that's kind of where I'm at this point, yeah. where I'm trying to put more effort into the YouTube channel other than these podcasts to make more videos, but I'm not rushing it. Like I'm trying to, as Doc Rock would say, have a purpose to what you're creating. Have focus. Cause if you don't have mm-hmm. purpose, you don't have focus, it's going to be difficult. So take the time to really come up with your own strategy the next month and a half to implement. So that's my advice going forward right now.
That's good. I think that's the best way to end this, Jared. I don't want to add anything more to that because I'm just going to ruin it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, to wrap up the conversation, to wrap up the show, I have to ask, because if any of you follow Michael, you know he's famous for his desk setups and his office, but you just did a new office setup and it's in your garage and it looks so awesome. How long did it take you to do that?
Oh, thanks, man. I think it took me about maybe 4 or 5 months because I wasn't rushing it. And one of the reasons, like originally we wanted to move to a different house, but you and I know how crazy the housing market was. Yeah. So like, this is not going to happen. And I actually started looking for a place to rent. And then my wife and I talked about it. We're like, you know, why don't we just convert one of the spaces in the garage into what you'd like? And so the difficult part about this is committing to it because it's a garage and we're used to using the garage as a garage. And to try to make it look like a place where you want to sit in was kind of, it was hard for me to wrap my head around it. In a way, I was kind of like trying to justify it. Like, why am I spending this much money to make the garage look nice? And then after I painted the walls, after we had the floor redone, the epoxy, and then installed like the wooden slats behind me, I'm like, okay, it's starting to shape up. So, but yeah, it took me like 4 to 5 months. And this is where I do most of my work now. I mean, the only time I'm in my office right now is when I edit the videos because I like the monitor there.
Yeah.
But most of this stuff, it's here because my kids don't bother me.
It looks really good. I got to ask, man, because we're whining here in California, but it's been cold in the mornings, man. Is it cold in there?
It's been cold, actually, yeah. It's been cold. And I actually had to install like some light insulation in the garage door. And it actually kind of works. So it's been a lot more bearable to be here in the garage. Like my only thing here is the echo. But I mean, the what is it? The new plugin for not plugin, but like the feature.
Oh, the voice isolation.
Final Cut.
Yeah.
Voice isolation is good.
Don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. But like, it just needs a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. nice. Yeah. So it's good. It's been working for me. So far so good. But thank you, man. Yeah. Appreciate it.
It looks good. Well, Michael, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come on the show. Episode 99. It's your third time back on. Third time. Third so, and not even remotely close to the last. So,
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your time. An honor. Yeah. Hang on the back end. We'll talk for a little bit, but thanks again.
All right.
Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode 99. I'm so excited for episode 100. So don't forget Wednesday, November 16th, we're going to be live streaming at 1 p.m. Pacific with a very special guest host. If you've been a longtime listener, you can probably take a pretty good educated guess on who that is going to be. But I'm super excited for it. And yeah, I hope you enjoy this episode. I hope it gave you something to think about. Take a step back, take a look at the content you're creating and figure out how to implement your voice. And if you are, great, and figure out how to continue doing that. So yeah, if you want to save some money on some Modwood products that, you know, those guys were on the last episode, super cool. I can't wait to get mine. But if you want to save some money, link down in the description, promo code is Hive Media, one word, and save yourself 20%. As always, I appreciate you guys taking the time to listen, to watch, however you're consuming the podcast. If you are watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a 5-star rating. That's the best way for you guys to show your support for the show. As always, I really do appreciate it. I've said that already, but I just got to keep saying it because I really do appreciate it. I would not be here hitting episode 100 if it wasn't for all you guys that listen and the amazing feedback that you guys send to me, either on Instagram or Twitter, however you communicate it to me. I appreciate it. And as always, I'll talk to you next week.